voter panels and talk to people. I don't know how you have that kind of panel and you don't ask, well, how are you comfortable with some of the racist comments that he's made? How are you comfortable with how he speaks about your fellow countrymen? And so,
literally quoting Hitler.
Absolutely.
You know,
everything about him is so un-American in the ideology that we have, that the hope of what we think this country could be. But it's also so very American,
yeah,
in the way that this country was founded. So I'm disgusted by it. I'm unnerved by him continuing to be the front runner. And until media, which I do think has a very important role to play in democracy, until they start assuming that role in a more responsible, inclusive, aware way, I think they're helping to pave the way to America's final season.
Textbook enabling. And one of the things, too, we throw in the Nikki Haley clip. We make it seem, or they have made it seem over time, like Donald Trump was the anomaly. You referenced this Frankenstein analogy that Harry Reid actually said. He said, that Donald Trump was the Republican Party's Frankenstein. You built this monster. Yep. Your dog whistles are now foghorns. Like, let's be very clear about what it is. This same thing that he's doing, doubling down on the Civil War, paved the way by state policy where they're challenging CRT. Now it's DEI program. So we went from critical race theory to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And Donald Trump is like, oh, there's an obsession with Civil War. It turns out the Confederate soldiers were born again and showed up at the Capitol on January 6th. No surprises here at all. So I'm curious to know vitriol, because it's been vitriol.
I'm not new to the game, and I'm not new to the tactics of Donald Trump. I find it strange the timing of wading into this. And I don't think that Donald Trump and Nikki Haley's comments are the same. Nikki Haley also, first of all, she's a contradiction in walking, because she's also the same woman who took down the Confederate flag and removed the Confederate statues off the state's grounds in South Carolina. That's what made many of us think that she was a reasonable person. If slavery had nothing to do with the Civil War, the Confederacy, then why was it so politically risky for her to then remove those monuments?
Well, you know what's changed.
I know exactly what's changed. But to make the difference between what Trump is saying, I have not heard a Republican in mainstream, certainly not someone who has pursued the presidency, say we should have renegotiated that. And a lot of lives could have been saved.
The court is going to be hearing arguments on the unprecedented Colorado ruling disqualifying Donald Trump from that state's 2024 Republican primary ballot. Legal experts say that there are several ways that the justices could actually reverse that decision without weighing in directly on Trump's conduct or allegations that he engaged in that deadly insurrection after the 2020 election. Our senior correspondent, Devin Dwyer, joining us now to talk about this. So what can we expect from the proceedings tomorrow? And do you actually think Trump may show up? You really never know what he's going to do. I probably shouldn't have even asked you that.
Well, you don't. They're not expecting him to come, but as we've seen, anything can happen.
It would make a spectacle, wouldn't it?
It sure would. It would make the headlines. Three justices that he appointed on that court deciding this huge case, Kira, this is a really big deal tomorrow at the Supreme Court for a court that likes to stay away from politics. The court is now stepping into the middle of the 2024 presidential election. They're taking on this question that's divided states, it's divided election officials, it's divided the country. Everybody has an opinion. Is Donald Trump ineligible to be on the ballot because of his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election? Colorado's top court said last year he's ineligible. He's disqualified because he engaged, in their words, in insurrection. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment says anyone who took an oath to defend the Constitution as an officer of the United States and then engaged in insurrection can't hold office ever again. That's what that court found. And tomorrow the justices are going to hear Trump's appeal. He says Section 3 does not apply to him. He says he didn't engage in insurrection. And we'll see what the justices have to say about that. They're not expected to rule from the bench, but their questions, as you know, could give us a hint of which way they're going to go.
Do you have any idea when we could have a decision?
Well, the decision is going to come relatively quickly for the Supreme Court. The expectation is a number of weeks, certainly not in June. Colorado's primary is on Super Tuesday, March 5th. So the expectation is that they will issue some sort of a decision so that voters can go to the polls in Colorado knowing, you know, the standing of an outcome of this case. So we're thinking in a couple of weeks. It won't happen tomorrow, though.
And then there's all the lawsuits that are out there.
Oh, my goodness. there are so many lawsuits on this issue alone, dividing the states. And this decision in this case will be historic. Never before has the Supreme Court taken up this question of the 14th Amendment. It's 150 years old, Kira. It was enacted after the Civil War. So tomorrow is going to be fascinating. Attorneys on both sides of the case expect the justices to take this extremely seriously, engage with the questions, engage with the issue. We'll have to see whether they get into the nitty-gritty about whether they think Donald Trump is an insurrectionist. There are lots of different ways that they could decide this case, including some that are technical, procedural. But no doubt those questions from those justices are going to be absolutely fascinating and historic. And the decision they render will be a landmark one.
Blues, R&B, reggae, jazz, and more. It's a different beat on a Sunday.
Don't you bother with me. Yes, I'm an evil gal. Don't you bother with me. I'll empty your pockets and fill you with misery. I've got men to the left, men to the right, men every day and men every night. So many men, I don't know what to do. So I'm telling you, Daddy, I ain't no good for you. Yes, I've got men in the east, men in the west, but my man here in Harlem always loved me the best. I'm an evil gal, and I needs me an evil man. Down in the dumps since I lost him to Uncle Sam. With me, hey, I said if you wanna be happy,
Thank you. to Chicago. Sorry, Chicago. Sorry, I can't take you. There's nothing in Chicago that a boy like you could do. baby, you're so
sweet and gentle. You do things I never do.
WRCT Pittsburgh. Spare my feelings, just tell me that we're through, and make it easy on yourself, make it easy on yourself, 'cause breaking up is so very hard to do. And if the way I hold you can't compare to his caress, no words of consolation will make me miss you less. No. So if this is goodbye, I just know I'm gonna cry. So run to him before you start crying too. Make it easy on yourself. Make it easy on yourself. Oh, 'cause breaking up is so hard to do. So hard. Hard to do. So hard to do.
Show some sadness for people whom I've known that now are gone. And I will smile to show you when I'm happy, and I'll let you know when things are going. I will try my best to be there when you need me, and I wanna give you strength when you need someone strong, and I'll sit and cry with you, my dear, if need. I'll paint your pretty picture with a song. I will paint your pretty picture with a song.
with a song.
Such a great music from Miss Marlena Shaw for you this morning. As we know, she recently passed away. But folks, she has a lot of great music out there, so you need to go check it out. Marlena Shaw doing a tune called Paint Your Pretty Picture. Also, something that Milton Suggs is kind of like experimenting with. He's not quite sure whether he's going to put this on his next album or not. But it's a tune called Make It Easy on Yourself. Remember? Jerry Butler? Yeah, remember that one? Yeah. Also, Horace Silver, a remastered version of Down and Out. Killer Joe, Benny Golson, featuring Jeff Keezer, Dwayne Bruno, and Joe Farnsworth. Yes, indeed. Mr. Benny Golson there for you on a Sunday morning. As well as Count Basie Orchestra from their Grammy Award-winning recording from last year, featuring Lettucey with Evil Gal Blues. You're listening to the Jazz Corner here on WRCT Pittsburgh. Kevin Amison with you. Sí,
cried a river over you. Now you say you're sorry for being so untrue. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river. I cried a river over you. You drove me, nearly drove me out of my head, while you never shed. To oblivion, you told me you were through with me, and now you say you love me. Well, that to prove you do, you can cry me a river, cry me a river. I cried a river. You told me you were through with me, and now you say
Asungaya, Asungaya, Wiro Wiro, Asungaya, Asungaya, Wiro Wiro, Asungaya, Asungaya, Wiro Wiro, Asungaya. Thank you.
Thank you.